So this is from Nehemiah Nachamuni. Those of us who were together last year, we learned it on a few occasions. His volume on Moadim. He's a shiurim that the Tolna Rebbe gave. I just said to Yoni, if you want to get a copy, then you have to travel to Efrat. Rabbi Daniel Stein, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva here, I asked him recently, said, I heard a rumor that you have copies of the Nehemiah Nachamuni. I said, yes, I do. He said, I spoke to the woman in Efrat, and she said she's tired of shipping them. If you want to come, you have to come to Efrat to get it yourself. They're kedai to get. So if you're ever in Efrat, track down the lady who sells the Nehemiah Nachamuni from the Tolna Rebbe. But you can see, it's a very Israeli-looking sefer, very interesting. It was written by his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law lives in Efrat. He's the Tolna Rebbe from Yerushalayim. He was very big in Eretz Yisrael today. He's well-known and is greatly appreciated for his insights. Efrat, his Eitza, in Yonei Chinuch, he's very well-respected. I had this chus to meet him one time with Rav Ehrman. Those who know Rav Ehrman. I went on a Motzei Shabbos to Malav Malka by the Tolna Rebbe. And afterwards, Rav Ehrman took me over to shake the Rebbe's hand. So the Rebbe says, what's your name? He speaks English, says, what's your name? I said, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. He said, oh, I'm also Weinberg. His name's Rav Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg. So I said, okay, maybe I'm related to the Rebbe. Halavai. Not that I know. So he has a beautiful piece on page 141 in the volume on Moad. Haschala B'Shalemus. When a person starts something, you want to start off in a strong way. That's everything we spoke about on Thursday in Shemi Shmuel. So he starts with a very interesting Lamdisha question that the Avnei Nezer brings in his Tshuvos. Who's the Avnei Nezer? The father of the Shemi Shmuel. The father of the Shemi Shmuel. Okay, the Rebbe of Sokotcho, the Avnei Nezer writes in Tshuvos, Arachayim Tav Lamed Beis. He brings a kushya, a question from his Talmud, the Chelkas Yoav. The Chelkas Yoav was a great, great Torah genius. And like many of these Polish Gaonim, they were people whose sharpness was so deep. So he asked a very, very sharp question. What did the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer ask him? Odos Chatzitza. He asked him about Chatzitza. What's the case? Lagabe shofar omeres ha-gemara. The Gemara has a very clear rule. If you take a shofar, and what do you do? Tzipa u-zoha. B'makom anachas ha-peh, pasul. Shalo b'makom anachas ha-peh, kosher. If you decide to plate your shofar in gold, if you plate the tip of the shofar where your mouth rests upon the shofar, so it's possible. If you decide to put some gold plating on another part of the shofar just for design, that would be kosher. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin would be this. Umevar haRamban b'chidushav, the Ramban explains, ki b'moko manocha sapeh, mahava hazav chatzitza bein ha-shofar, u'bein piv shalatokaya. What's the obvious reason you can't plate the mouthpiece? Because then there's a chatzitza between you and the shofar, the one who's blowing the shofar. Bnei Gemar misaperes sherab ahor lemesadre halulav shalresh kalusav sheasimu as ha'eged me'al lamokom achizas halulav kadei sheha'eged lo yahave chatzitza benetilas halulav. Rav acholak al kach va'amar kol l'naoso eino chotzis. Machlokes, the Gemara has in Sukkah, Rabba and Rava, whether or not I'd be allowed to put some type of decorative holder on my lulav. Or do I have to hold the lulav in my hands? Rabba says you should not place any type of decorative chatzitza that would separate your hands from the lulav. Rava argues, and Rava says, kol l'naoso eino chotzis. If it's part of the design, if it beautifies the mitzvah, that's not a chatzitza. That enhances the mitzvah. So what's the question? Klomar, kol davar shematarasso noy mitzvah lo ma'avi chatzitza. If it enhances the mitzvah, it's not a chatzitza. Lachein ha'eger eino chotzis, v'nifsuka halacha karava. And we pass him like Rava, that in fact, if you want to decorate your lulav, you want to hold it in a golden holder, halacha says that would be acceptable. So what's the chalkas Yoav going to ask his Rebbe Avnei Nezer? So if anything that enhances the mitzvah is not a chatzitza, that's the general rule, so why can't I put a golden plated tip, right? Why can't I gold plate the tip of my shofar? He says in the second paragraph, Shalach Chalkas Yoav, it's Avnei Nezer. Hari b'shofar nasa hazav lenoi. If the rule is that anything for the enhancement of the mitzvah is not a chatzitza, umadu al chotzitz, so why can't I enhance my... You told me if I put the gold on the far end of the shofar, that's okay. But by the mouthpiece, it's not okay. Why? Why don't we apply the rule, kol lena oso eno chotzitz? And he points out that the Svastemis and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah ask the same question. Okay, everyone's clear on the question? The question that the Chalkas Yoav asked the Avnei Nezer, why can't you play the tip of the shofar if we have a klal, which we paskin like, based on the Gemara Sukkah, Lamed Zayin and Aleph, that anything that's for the Hana of the Mitzvah is not a chatzitza. Good? Avnei Nezer Metaritz, third paragraph. Al pi chidushol shel Ramban. The Ramban has a further halach, which is very difficult to understand. That same Ramban, that told us that if you plead the gold tip, right, it's a problem because of chatzitza. Says the Ramban over there in the Chidushim as well. Shekosav ki im hirchik hatokei as pib me ashofar. Let's say, right, let's say you're a professional trumpet player, you have very strong lungs. Let's say you don't place your mouth directly on the shofar, right, but you create a little space, an airspace between you and the shofar, and you can blow with such strength that you'll still be able to emit the proper sounds of the tequila, the farm, and the straw. You're just not making direct contact with the shofar. So does that work? Is air considered a chatzitza? Says the Ramban, over there explaining the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Ein yotzen b'tekiyah zu yidei chova. Such a tekiyah, where it's interspersed your mouth from the shofar by air, it's not a proper tekiyah. V'hikshu akach ha'achronim, so the achronim over there ask, I don't understand. Madu ha'avir posel, harim b'chol makom avir lo nechshav kechatzitza. The Gemara in Zvachim, Yud Tesamar Aleph says, that air is not considered a chatzitza. So again, we've doubled over our question, the Avdei Nezer says. Why should the gold-plated shofar tip be a problem? Don't we have a cloud that anything that's for a tana is not considered a chatzitza? We pass it like Rava in the Gemara in Sukkah. Secondly, where does the Ramban get this chiddush that if your mouth is not directly in contact with the shofar, that all of a sudden, that's a psul. Air is not a chatzitza. We don't normally consider air to be a psul, a chatzitza. Says the Avdei Nezer. And then we'll try to understand this. The Rebbe will explain to us in Machshava, in Pnimius, what this idea means. But first, you have to understand the lamdus and the halacha of the shofar. Mevara Avnei Nezer, the yesh po shnei inyanim. There are two aspects when it comes to the din of tkiyah shofar. Yesh kapeda shalotei chatzitza. On the one hand, rule number one, there cannot be a chatzitza. Yesh kapeda acheres shitzar chibor v'negia b'poel. There can't be a chatzitza. And that's something we have to analyze through the prism of halacha. But there's also a second aspect, apparently, when it comes to shofar, that you need to have direct contact with the shofar. And therefore what? Legabe hadrisha shelo tei chatzitza. As far as the rule that there shouldn't be a chatzitza, mo'ilim dinim, lamdanim, right? You can use lamdus. Lomar sheba mikrim mesuyam ein anu romis a chatzitza hamasis ki chatzitza dinit. Says the Talmud Rebbe, says the Avdei Nezer, that as far as the chatzitza aspect, we can use lamdus. Meaning, technically, is my mouth directly touching the shofar? If it's separated by gold? No, but as far as chatzitza is concerned, gold is not a problem. So in lamdus, it's ke'ilu, I'm touching the shofar. Air space that's separating my mouth from the shofar, again, in lamdus, air is not a chatzitza, so it's ke'ilu, in halacha, as if my lips are touching the shofar. But says the Avdei Nezer, there's a second reality when it comes to shofar. And the second reality is, not in lumdis is it key when my mouth is touching the shofar. Lamaisa, are my lips making direct contact with the shofar? Right? It's not an abstract lumdis. It's rather, right? He says, there's a chatzitza masis and the chatzitza dinis. Right? Chatzitza masis means, in reality, are my lips directly touching the shofar? I don't care if normally the rules of chatzitza would say, it's ki'ilu, you're touching the shofar. Lamaisa, you're not touching the shofar. And therefore, says the Talmud Rebbe, Lemashal, the rule that if something is for the hana, it's not a chatzitza. The rule that air is not a chatzitza. The rule that min bimino eno chotetz. These are all halachic principles that are magdir, that set up the boundaries and the nature of what chatzitza is. All of these things are not considered halachically chatzitza. Air is not a chatzitza. Something that enhances the beauty of the shofar is not a chatzitza. Min bimino, something with its own kind is not a chatzitza. But that's all in lamdus. Ulam adina ma'elo eina mo'ilim, kishyeh sorach b'negiya b'pawal. He says four lines from the bottom. However, when there's an expectation to make direct contact with the shofar, not a lamdus that I'm touching the shofar, that lamaisa, my mouth is touching the shofar, all of these halachos fall to the wayside. Gam em nemer she'en kan chatzitza, mikom bakom gam negiya in kan. Even if I could argue there's not a chatzitza, but we would also say, yeah, but you're also still not lemaisa. Lemaisa, you're not touching the shofar. Legabe shofar tzarech shetei negia shel apeh b'shofar. Acheres ein zo nachshevas tekiyah b'shofar. If you're not making direct contact, it's not called tekiyah shofar. Memela, kasher tzipas makom anachas apeh b'zav. So if you cover the tip of the shofar with gold, amnam ein kach chatzitza. It's true in lamdis, it's not a chatzitza. Shavei kol anoso eno chotzitz. Turn the page. Anyone out of a copy? We have extra copies. Please take. Just raise your hand. We'll get Avian, yeah? That's good. All right, so granted, in halacha, halachically, right, in the abstract, you are making contact with the shofar. But lamaisa, you're not really touching the shofar. What about lulav? By lulav, apparently we're not worried about making direct contact with the lulav. The fact that we paskin like Rava, that by a lulav, if it's to beautify it, that's fine. There's no special second dimension you need to have direct contact with the lulav, like we have by shofar. Says the Talmud Rebbe, top of 142, benetilas lulav, lumas zos, ein sarach shetiyaga hayad, shetiga hayad, ba'arbas haminim, yeshrak din shalotei chatzitza. By the lulav, there's no din that you have to have direct contact with the lulav, there just can't be a chatzitza. If it's to beautify it, that's not a chatzitza. So that's good enough. Halachically, you're touching the lulav, that's fine. Yes, Jojo.
What does that mean, like, for longest you're doing it?
It means that halacha views you as having direct contact with the shofar. Right? If you decide to put some strange substance at the tip of the shofar that does not beautify the shofar, right? Then you're not, your mouth is not directly touching the shofar. And halachically, that substance, that sticky substance that you put at the tip of the shofar, right? You decide to wrap the tip of the shofar in silly putty. So that's not, you're not making contact with the shofar. And the halacha says that what you put around the tip of the shofar doesn't enhance the shofar, right? So there's a chatzitza. If you plate the tip of the shofar in gold, halacha says that is an extension of the shofar. From a halachic perspective, that's not a chatzitza. That's not really stopping you from having contact with the shofar. Halachically, it's good. But what the Avnei Nezer is saying, we apparently have a chiddush by shofar. That it's not enough that in a halachic realm, we say it's okay. Right? When you ask a halachic shayla, is this considered, meaning something might be considered cooking, right, by a secular definition. From a halachic perspective, it's not called cooking. Right? So someone in the street might say, what do you mean? You cooked on Shabbos. You might say, no, the halacha says that's not called cooking. What do you mean? We call that cooking. That's nice, but halacha doesn't call that cooking. Halacha doesn't call this plating of the tip of the shofar a chatzitza. It's as if it's not there. But there's a second aspect. This strange second aspect that you have to have direct contact with the shofar, apparently. That the Avnei Nezer is being mechadish based on these sources in Chazal and the Ramban. I would need to understand why.
Doesn't that make it halachic?
No, there's two aspects to it. Mitzar chatzitza, again.
Same as lulav.
In chatzitza, from the halacha of chatzitza, there's no chatzitza. But there's also no, his lashon is very meduyak. Look what he says. He says again, there's no chatzitza, right? But there's also no negiya bapala. You're not actually touching the shofar. You're touching the gold. But halacha says the gold is an extension of the shofar. That's true from the dinam of chatzitza. But not from the perspective of tkiya shofar. We have to understand why. That's going to be the question. Right? As he asks, where it's underlined in the third paragraph, Amnam tzarech lahavin, minayin be'emes shebeshofar tzarech negiya, but by lulav you don't need negiya. Where did the Avnei Nezer come up with this idea? And in Pnimius, in Chassidus, what is the idea? What does it mean? Why by shofar are we more interested in having direct contact? By lulav we're not as uptight. As long as in lamdus it's kiilu you're touching, by lulav that's considered touching. But by shofar you have to mamish be touching the shofar. Yes, Rabbi Yisrael.
Would it be a possible shofar blowing if you,
so that's not, so according to what we're saying, the Gemara says that's not, right? The Gemara's rule is clear. If you coat the tip of the shofar in gold, it's possible. That's Mefurish Gemara and Roshanach of Zion and Abyss. The question is why? If we paskin by lulav, like Rava, that kol lahanasa is not a chatzitza, so why by the tip of the shofar is it a chatzitza? And the further chiddush the Ramban, why is air space? If your lips are not directly touching the shofar and you're able to blow the sound, why is that? Why is that not a kosher shofar blowing? So we're saying we're being mechadish. The Avnei Nezer is being mechadish that apparently there's a din of negia. You have to be touching the shofar directly. Why? By lulav, there's no such din. Doesn't make sense. Air is not a chatzitza. Says the Avnei Nezer, we're not talking only about from chatzitza perspective. You're good. But from a directly touching the substance of the shofar to your lips, we're not good. Why? Why should that be? Yes.
Is there a difference between a din and a halacha?
What do you mean?
Because you just said there's a din that you have to be touching it, but we're just talking.
Well, there's two dinim. From the dinim of chatzitza, you're good. Right? But apparently by shofar, there's an additional din. There's additional halacha. I'm using those terms interchangeably.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
That you need to have direct contact. That's the chiddush of the Avnei Nezer, as seen clearly from the Gemara itself. The Gemara says that a gold-plated shofar tip is a problem. So we need to understand why that is. Apparently you need to have direct contact. Why? So he quotes a chazal, very interesting chazal, that we need to think about. You might say to yourself, but I'm not such a big Talmud Chacham. And who said, who claims that I'm a Ben Torah? So I'll tell you what the Chavetz Chaim said to his Talmidim, and I'll say it to you. Chavetz Chaim said to his Talmidim, you have to treat yourself, ki'ilu, you're a Talmud Chacham. He said to his Talmidim, every one of you have to treat yourself as if you're a big Talmud Chacham. So they said, Rebbe, you're a big Talmid Chacham. We're not a big Talmid Chacham. No, the Talmid Chacham is Chaim. We're a big Talmid Chacham. So everything's Yiras Hadar. So we have to adjust for our Chabura. Okay? But he said, you have to carry yourself like a Talmid Chacham. So he said, Rebbe, but we're not Talmid Chacham. He said, yeah, but in the eyes of the world, you are. Just now, I was walking down the street, someone walking a dog stopped me. And he said, Rabbi, what are you learning? I said, who says I'm a rabbi? He said, oh, come on, I can see the way that you're dressed. I said, I'm just a regular Jew. Who says I'm a rabbi? Right? So why is he calling me a rabbi? I'm because I'm wearing a yarmulke, so now I'm a rabbi. But in the eyes of the world, if you're an Orthodox Jew, right, and you have any of the outer trappings of an Orthodox Jew, if people identify you as a Jew, then in the eyes of the world, they're holding you to the highest standard. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim said the same way a Talmud Chacham has to be so careful not to cause a chil Hashem, right? Because people look at him. Chafetz Chaim told his Talmid, you should realize everyone's looking at you also. You shouldn't think, well, I'm not such a big Talmud Chacham. The world is looking at you. If you're identifiably Jewish, the world is looking at you, and you have to carry yourself with that added sensitivity. That's what the Chafetz Chaim told his Talmid. That's what I read once in the writings of Rav Nosson Geshtet, and there's that tzal from Bnei Brak. So look at this next chazal, and just understand that it applies 100% to every one of us. We're not such a big Talmid Chacham, who says we're such a big Bnei Torah? If you identify as Jewish, if you're coming to learn Torah, if people see you as a person who's connected to Torah and Mitzvos, in the eyes of the world, you're expected to operate in this way. Chazal Omer. Becheinu Omer Ba'avni Mizbeach. It says about the Mizbeach that you're not allowed to use Barzel. Right? You can't cut the stones of the Mizbeach using iron. Uvemokom Acher Hu Omer. But elsewhere it says that you should be able to perhaps cut with iron. Manish Tana Lios Barzel Lios Psul Mizbeach Mikol Mine Matachos. So why is it that specifically iron is prohibited from being used to cut the stones of the Mizbeach? Lefi Shecherev Simin Klala. Right, a sword is used to cause tremendous damage. Mizbeach Simin Kapara, and Mizbeach is a place of Kapara. Swords are used to chop down people in war. It causes death, it causes fighting, it causes destruction. The Mizbeach is just the opposite. The Mizbeach is building the world, is cleansing the world, is healing the world. And therefore, we don't want these two elements to come together. We don't want that the iron sword should be upon the Mizbeach. Look what the Medrash says. It's not really a Medrash, it's a Braisa in Mesechas Smachos, which is one of the minor tractates. If the Mizbeach, which is an inanimate object, that because it plays a role as an inanimate object, as facilitating peace between mankind and the Ribbono Shel Olam, so Bnei Torah, so a human being, the walking embodiment of Torah, with a brain and a heart, to think and to feel, Bnei Torah Shem Kapara La'olam Alachas Kam V'Kama, a Ben Torah whose every move is trying to heal the world, all the more so he has to be so removed from Barzel. What does that mean? It means V'cheinu Omer Avonim Shleimos Tivnas Mizbach Hashem Elokecha Avonim Shematil L'Sholom V'Olam. You need to use whole stones that were not cut by iron. Right, they had the Shamir War maybe at various points in Jewish history, but the stones have to be whole. If the Mizbeach has to be whole, all the more so a Ben Torah has to be wholesome, has to be Shalom, because he brings Shalom to the world. And yet they bring Shalom Bein Yisrael Avim Yisrael Shamayim. They have a sense, there's a sense of Shalemus that's required of them. Bnei Torah Hashem Kepar La'olam Achas Kam V'Kama Yushleimim V'Flei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Ben Torah has to strive to be a Shalim. A person has to realize you're being held to the highest, in the eyes of the world, like the Chafetz Chaim said, you're being held to the highest standards. People expect Jews to be perfect. The average person in the street can get away with a lot more than a Jewish person. Right? We know it all the time. You think the Israeli army, I have to say this, is kibbutz achidish, the Israeli army is held to the same standards of any other army in the world? It makes any sense? Is that all rational? That it you know, the right for a Jew to defend himself is seen as an act of aggression, while people, you know, call for the destruction of innocent people all the time and no one bats an eye. So we know that we're held to a different standard. The Jewish people are held to a different standard. Bnei Torah, there's an expectation to be Shalim. Says the Talmud Rebbe, bottom of page 142, Bnei Torah heim bevachinas Shleimus. Bnei Torah are the ultimate example of Shleimus. Shleimish zu anamotziyim gam ben yanit filos vashashon. So we've seen now, right? Shleimus, completion, a sense of wholesomeness, is true by a Ben Torah. And when it comes to the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, and we'll use this to hopefully get back to shofar, there's also this notion of something being very shalom. What does that mean? Isa b'gemara. Hayi Rabbi Meir Omer. Shnaim sha'alu lamita. V'chulyan shava. V'chein shnaim sha'alu lagardam. Lidun v'dinan shava. Ze yarad v'ze lo yarad. Ze nitzal v'ze lo nitzal. Yipnei maze yarad v'ze lo yarad. Ze nitzal v'ze lo nitzal. Imagine two people are sentenced to the gallows. And one emerges unscathed. And the other one is killed, is executed. So what happened? These two people were in great danger. They were both taken to the place, to the gardom, right? To the tower. They would either throw them off, or they would hang them, whatever it was. Whatever terrible capital punishment they were about to receive. And all of a sudden, one was able to somehow free himself. Says the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Yilchesem et Aleph, how did that happen? What changed? They seemed that they were heading towards the same fate. You plug in any scenario. Two people in equal danger, one survives, one does not. How so? One davened and was answered. The other one obviously was frightened, he also davened. But he wasn't answered. What was the secret to the one who was answered? Why was this one answered and that one not answered? Zespal tefillah shleima, top 143. The one who davened the complete tefillah was answered. Zespal tefillah shleima, and therefore he was not answered. What's a tefillah shleima? Says Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, tefillah shleima haynu kishenis kavin. Hashleimus betefillah hi akavan. Shleimus in tefillah is kavan. Shleimus in tefillah, right? It's not more shalim if you could say more words. Better to say less words and to say it with kavanah. One of the opening halachos in Shulchan Aruch, but we'll discuss it in a moment. Ulamaros shenachlagu Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, banam atem l'Hashem lokechem. We know there's a well-known machlokes in Kedushin Lamin Vav. Banam atem l'Hashem lokechem. Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, right? We just had it not long ago. Perek Yudal in Pasuk Aleph. Banim atem l'Hashem lokechem. You are the children of God. When are you the children of God? Do you have to earn the right to be a child of Hashem, or is it automatic? Machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, "Bein kachu, bein kach, kriyan banim." Rabbi Meir says, regardless of your behavior, that pasuk is an absolute. A child is a child. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. It's not negotiable. There's nothing you could do to lose that status. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, shockingly enough. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bizman shenoeg minag banim." When you act like a ben melech, so then you're worthy of the title of being called the child of God. If you don't act like a child of God, if you're a disgrace to the kingdom, then you're no longer called a ben. You're dismissed from Hashem's presence. You're no longer his child, you're no longer the prince. Okay? Who do we paskin like, by the way, in this machlokas? Sounds like a funny question to ask, but we do paskin this machlokas. And the Rashba has two tshuvas. Right? And hopefully you know the answer just from your heart. Of course we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Ban matam l'Hashem lokechem is an absolute. Non-negotiable. No matter how bad you are, you're still a ben. A husband and wife can get divorced. A parent can't divorce a child. You can't sever that relationship. They might have nothing to do with each other. Right? They might not want to admit that they know each other. They may deny the relationship between one another. Lamaisa, the DNA of that child, is clearly linked to that parent. There's nothing you could do to sever that connection. We paskin like Rabbi Meir. Okay? Says the Talmud Rebbe, right before it's underlined. Why is he bringing this Maamar Chazal? He's saying, well, what's the point of ever davening? You know, if we're always good, we can always pull the Banu Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem card. Hashem, you love us, we're your child. Right? So why do I ever have to try to be, you know, better than I am now? If I'm always in. I'm already in. So what am I working on? Of course, obviously, you're in on some level, but the goal is to be the most wholesome and complete and shalim you can be. And therefore, in the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, of course there's an expectation. The more kavanah you can bring to the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, the better. V'tzarech bi'ur madu'a b'Rosh Hashanah yesh nekpeida miyuchedes al shleimus ha'tefillah. On Rosh Hashanah b'frat, we highlight the fact that tefillah has to be of a different quality. Why? If this is the day that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging us, it's our father judging his child. We're good no matter what, right? What do we need to work so hard in Rosh Hashanah for? Could be that this machlokas or Meir of Yehuda about banam atem l'Hashem lokechem in kedushin is linked to a mishnah on Maseches Trumos. Very interesting mishnah. Seems like a simply halachic statement machlokas, but there's a tremendous message in this machlokas. Look at the machlokas in the third paragraph on 143. Ulai nitein levayir zos al pi machlokas acheres ben Meir of Yehuda. Tarmin batzel katan shalim avlo chatzi batzel gadol. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, low key, Ella Chati Batzel Gadol. What's better? To designate as Truma. What's better? To give half of a large onion, or to give a whole small onion? Says Rabbi Meir, Tormin Batzel Katan Sholem Avalo Chati Batzel Gadol. You can give as Truma a small onion that's complete. But a half-eaten onion, no matter how big it is, even if it's bigger than the small one, because it's not shalem, it's not fit to be used in the process of separating trumos. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? The more the merrier. I don't care if it's half onion. I'd rather have a bigger half onion than a small, complete onion. Machlokas or Meir Rabbi Yehuda. What's the machlokas? Right? The shorish machlokas is, again, what's better? Bigger, right? Or of a higher quality. Shorish machlokasam. What's better? Shalim or gadol? What's better? Something whole or something big? The chatzi abatzal hagadol yesh kamas gadola yosem yesh abatzal katan shalim. The half bigger onion is obviously bigger than the small complete one. The chazina and shaladas Rabbi Meir malas hashleimas gadol and malas hakamus. According to Rabbi Meir clearly favors right fullness over size. Better to have a wholesome thing than to have a lot of a broken thing. Yitochin v'gam b'avodas Hashem. Nechleku b'oso yikar. So apparently in Avodas Hashem, this is a general machlokas by Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. What's better? Should I say a lot of davening without kavana? Or is it better to say less davening with a lot of kavana, that every word is shalim? Rabbi Yehuda maybe would hold. The more the better. Rabbi Meir says, no, I'd rather you do less and do it in a more wholesome way. Hayim laharbos betfila gam im ein kavana le'ela u'le'ela, or shema adiv ma'at be'kavana. Right. So then the Talmud Rebbe in the next paragraph has an interesting little diuk. He says, I want to just point out, why is it, if we're explaining this in Chassidus and Pnimius, why is it that the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is dafka by an onion? He says, an onion of all things is a strange thing to pick as an example, especially since what? Since an onion is not chayiv b'truma d'araisa. Why not pick something as chayim truma daraisa? Right? Talking dagon, tirosh, v'yitzar. Talking one of those things that's definitely truma daraisa, according to all the shitas. Why do you pick an onion? Why dafka an onion? Yeah. Silan says the layers of the onion already is telling us. Shrek. Right? The Shrek. Everyone's thinking Shrek. You can say it. Not to be embarrassed to bring a riot to a mission in the second paragraph of Trumos from Shrek.
I ain't Shrek.
Okay? So he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. Look at the second to last paragraph in the middle. You see where it says Pesachim Kuf Yadal Amar Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Ilai. Achol Batzal V'Shev Batzel. You see where it's, right? Yeah. Eat an onion and sit in the shade. That's good advice. Eat an onion and sit in the shade. What does that mean? Pashtos Hadvar Mi. A person should try to remain. We'll see. There's a Maimer Chazalik as we'll encounter in the first parak of Sanhedrin. It's good to lay low. A person should try, right, to not display himself too much in public. Okay, this is certainly something we have to think about in our time, especially with social media and the ways of displaying oneself. Okay, we have to think about it. But there's an advantage to being tzanua. So new in what sense? Le'achol ma'achalim pshutim v'lo ma'adonim. To eat simple foods, right? To eat simply. To live a life of simplicity. To eat onions, for example. And l'ashem is welcome to nuah, to sit in the shade. Not necessarily to be always, you know, at the center of attention, but to try to lay low, to keep a low profile, right? But sail base, so to sit in the shade of one's house. Not always to be standing on a street corner, you know, preaching your shitas about life and trying to convince everyone that you've got it all figured out. Velolios Boor has Zarkorim. What's Zarkorim? What's Zarkorim? Zarkorim. What is it? What?
He would know this one.
Oh, yeah, he would know this one, yeah. I don't know. But it means don't, right? Not to always be on the billboards. So why are they talking about a batzel? Why are they talking about an onion? These are saying in Drush. Talmud Rebbe says, why pick an onion if it's not even Truma Daraisa? Why argue about an onion? Right? He's saying that, he says, they picked the machlokas by an onion, shumaycho pashur vahamoni. An onion is something that is shavu l'chol nefesh, it's very pashur, it's not expensive. Kedei l'chadish shegambo yishmalas hashlemus. That even for a pashur thing, right? What's better, to have a lot of a pashur thing? Or to have a small amount, but it should be wholesome. The point is that even if a person is a pashut person, machlokas is shayach to you. You can be a pashut shalim person. You don't have to be the biggest tzaddik to be a shalim. You can be a simple shalim. You can be like an onion that's shalim. That's also a chashiv thinks is very meh. A batzal shalim adayin yesh l'chashivas v'av ki batzal. Even though it's only an onion, it's still a chashiv thing if it's wholesome. I told her I was just adding an element of a drush to it. But again, what do you see from this? You see that there's this struggle that we're constantly encountering. Right? On the one hand, we want to accomplish a lot. On the other hand, making sure that we do something in a very wholesome way is a very important aspect of our Avodas Hashem. He goes on, as we turn the page, to quote a famous question, and I'll say it outside for the sake of time as we turn the page. Famous question, I'm sure many of us have heard it before. Devarim Psachim has a discussion whether Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, Dechuya B'tzibur. If the majority of the Jewish people are Tameh, right? So can we still continue to function regularly with regards to many things in the Beis HaMikdash, even though we're in a state of Tumah? Where does this question come up in a very famous way? It comes up when it came to Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, we know that all of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash was Tameh. So we know from the time we were little children that they went and they found pure oil, right? They had enough to make it last, but they went to get more pure oil, and the miracle was it lasted 8 days, because if not, they wouldn't have had oil. They had plenty of oil. It was Tameh. Okay. So, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Why couldn't they use the Tameh oil? Right? It kind of ruins the whole Hanukkah story. You know, here you have this beautiful miracle, and the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jews, they're going to get their oil, and Hashem keeps it burning until they get back. It was 4 days in each direction, according to some of the Rishonim. That's where they had to get the oil from. Right? And then, all of a sudden, you know, Lamdin walks in and says, you know, great, great story, pretty cool miracle. You didn't need any of that. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Right? Takes all the excitement out of Hanukkah. You didn't need anything. You could have taken the Tameh oil and used it right on the spot. So he quotes on the top of page 144, a famous answer from the Kotzker. The truth is, you already had this answer in Rishonim. And early Achronim. Yeshua gives this answer, others give this answer. It's an answer that many Sfarim develop, and that is, let's think about what was happening here. The Beis HaMikdash had just been totally ruined. We were about to what? Hanukkah. We were about to re-inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. Do you want to start off something new in a b'di'evad fashion? Yeah, halacha says it's okay. But is that really? You still have half a bayis sheni to go. You still have a lot of years, right? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, you still had almost half a bayis sheni, right, to go. You had hundreds of years till the bayis sheni is going to stand. A Hanukkah story took place around the midway point of bayis sheni. You had a long time still. Bayis sheni lasted a long time. So what, you're gonna want the foundation of bayis sheni? The re-inauguration of bayis sheni should be done with some type of heter. It's going to be anything less than perfectly pure. That's not what we want bayis sheni to look like. He goes on then, and he tells the following story. It's a famous story about the Adar. Okay, let's take a look. Let's read the story inside. Let's read from the paragraph Shomati Meharav Simcha HaKohen Kuk Shlita. Okay, so you get an answer, the Kotzker, the famous answer, the Kotzker. You want to start off something bitar. Then he tells the following story about the Adaret. Who was the Adaret? The Adaret was the Rav of Yerushalayim. Right? He came to Yerushalayim. He's going to give us a little background here. Let's read. I heard from Rav Simcha Cohen Cook, the Rav in Rehovos, Maisa Nifla Algonha Adaret Zatzal. It's a fairly famous story. It's an interesting story in Halacha, as you'll see right away. And it's a story that Tzvi Pesach Frank, in his Chuvos, in the Har Tzvi, in Chelek Evan HaEzer, discusses Halacha L'Maisa. It's a fascinating Shiloh. Listen to this story. It's a great story. The truth is, I almost put the Har Tzvi in the Shem Yishruel Mar Makomos the other day. Because again, this is the same Yisod. The foundation has to be strong. The foundation can't be Bidya. So look at the story. He says, the Adaret was the Rav of Yerushalayim. Adaret stands for Rabbi Eliyahu David Rabinovitz. Right? Rabinovitz. Tumim, hyphenated name. Hayarabish Alpanovich, he was the Rav in Panovich. The Rabbi Shal Yerushalayim had Rishmul Salant. And at that time, Rishmul Salant, right, was one of the senior rabbinic personalities in Yerushalayim. Rishmul Salant was getting very old, he describes here. Since Rishmul Salant was getting very old, he was quite old, and it was becoming difficult for him to oversee the rabbinic needs of Jerusalem. Who So he invited the Aderet, he invited Rabbi Eliyahu David Rabinovich to Umim to come join him in Yerushalayim to serve as part of the rabbinic staff, right? And more likely to take his place. So Lamali is Makomo Bavo Isman, as Shmuel Salam is getting quite old. Number Silfish Davar, historically it's interesting to just know what the end of the story was. Sive Vakarish Baruch Acheris, Haderas Loherach Yambi Yerushalayim, Vinifter Olaf Neir Shmuel Salam. The Aderet actually in the end passed away before Rav Shmuel Salant. He's welcome to join us. Does he want to join us?
Passing the sheet through.
Yeah,
through
we did. This is a very deep Indian. I'm not sure what to make of this. Reminds us maybe of a Gemara with Hill on a frozen rooftop, perhaps. Okay, not sure what's going on, but welcome to come lifnai v'lifnim. You don't have to be Toho Kabaro. We let everyone in.
To learn.
We're all learning. It's not embarrassing.
Okay, we don't want to embarrass anyone. So in the end, the Aderet passed away before Rav Shmuel Salant. But when he came to Yerushalayim, Rav Shmuel Salant wanted the Aderet to have the opportunity to immediately jump into the Rabbanus. Now, the Aderet was very overwhelmed just by being in Eretz Yisrael. And he had traveled a long distance to be there. He comes there to Israel, and immediately Rav Shmuel Salant says, I want you to be Masadar Kedusha at this wedding. So he says, okay, I'll be Masadar Kedusha. If the senior rabbinic personality tells you to be Masadar Kedusha, you become Masadar Kedusha. Look what happened, the bottom paragraph. Achar kach pana Rav Shmuel la'aderes, v'amil lashu rotza shiyaschel miyad, lichonis bepoa l'iskei Rabbanus. I want you to get involved in the Rabbanus right away. The kevet shebidiyuk achshav. Right now there's a chas in Yerushalayim. Come right away. He just arrived in Yerushalayim. He's so overwhelmed with the schus to be in Yerushalayim. He invites him right away. Come to Yerushalayim. Come be Masadar Kedusha. Oh, come to this chuppah. Haderes hayatard maderech. He was very worn out from the journey. The gam hayibas ragshas gadola. Then he had come to the platrin shel melech. He come to the palace of Hashem. Yerushalayim yar kodesh. The kasher beirach al hayayin tov amar shakol niyeh bidvaro. And the Haderes says he's reciting the bracha, right, under the chuppah. Well, many of us learned last year in Ksubis, right? Birchas Erusin, the Sheva Brachos. He recites on the wine, Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. Now, this was the Chacham who had just been invited to replace Rav Shmuel Salant. Needless to say, no one saw this as Aderes being, you know, unqualified for the job, but it was an embarrassing mistake, to say the least. Chachmei Yerushalayim Miru L'tak Nosha Tal B'Bracha. So people quickly said, no, Hagafen. What happened? Mir Haderes who berach b'shem u'malchus. So he started. He stopped himself. He started again, and he said Brei Priya Gafen with shem and malchus. Now I'm sure many of us know the halacha. What happens if you accidentally say shahakol and a cup of wine? Yoytze. So says the Talmud Rebbe at the top of page 145. After the chuppah, many of the gedolim came over to the Haderes, and they said, "There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Reishavav, v'alkol imamar shahakol yotza filo pasayayin." If you make shakal on bread, if you make shakal on wine, you're yotze. So why did you make another bracha? Isn't that a bracha levatala? And now they got a taste of who the Aderes really was. Look what the Aderes says. Onolem Aderes. Hare lemaisa birchas eirasin, yibracha derami al chasan, v'lo amasad kedushin. Many of us probably learned last year the machlokas rishonim. But the pashtus seems to be that whose bracha is it? The bracha of kedushin. Whose bracha is it? It's the chasan's bracha. The chasan gives that, right, he appoints as a shliach the Masadar Kedusha to make the bracha. Why did they institute such a thing? So not to embarrass the chassan who doesn't know how to make the bracha. So says the Aderes, I was the shliach of the chassan to recite the Brei Priya Gafen on behalf of the chassan. We know, the Gemara says in Ksubis Peheim and Aleph, that a shliach is assigned as a shliach in order to accomplish a shlichus. Not chas v'shalom to do a bad job with the shlichus. You're only my shliach to the extent that you're going to do a good job. So says the Aderes, when the chassan appointed me to break a bracha on his behalf as part of his entrance into marriage, he expected me to make Brei Priya Gafen. So you're right, if it was my own bracha, shahakol would count to cover the agafen. But as a shliach, if I make the shahakol, I'm a vatal the shlichus. And therefore I have an obligation to recite the proper bracha on behalf of the chassan, Borei Priya Gafen. That's what the Aderes says. Good? Now, according to this, there should be other, the following rabbi points out, the Shamati in the third paragraph, Kushi al Chiddush Zeshal Adaris. What would be, Hare Kiddush Vavdallah Nemar Malakos? Let's say I'm reciting Kiddush for everyone at the table. I'm reciting Havdallah for everyone after Shabbos. And I accidentally say the wrong bracha. So would you say the same thing? That since I'm being motzi others, that I'm sort of a shliach for everyone who's gathered listening to my Kiddush, my Havdallah, that if you made a mistake, you would repeat because of this din of shlichas? You don't find that the post can bring such a thing. Interesting question on the other. If his logic is correct, maybe you would say what? That by Kiddush and Havdallah, if I'm making Havdallah for everyone, we have a Shir Shabbaton, I'm making Havdallah, and I say accidentally, Shakal, maybe, since you all appointed me as your shliach to recite Havdallah on your behalf, so maybe I should have to repeat the bracha. That's an interesting question that the Adaris raises. But he says, you know what? It could be that there's a difference. And the difference is the Yisod that we've been discussing, which is what? Based on what the Kotzker told us, based on this idea that we spoke about in Shem Yishmol, the idea that the foundation has to be strong. Why by the wedding dafka? See, on a regular Motzei Shabbos, you all come to my house. Yeah, everyone comes for Shabbaton, we have a beautiful Shabbaton. Motzei Shabbos, we recite Havdallah, and I say Shahak. No one's going to be mak, but you'll say, the halacha says, that's fine. In Lamdus, it's fine. In Lamdus, Shahakal counts for a gafin. No one's gonna be Toveya against me and say, no, that's not right. I didn't appoint you to make Shahakal. I appointed you to make Brei Priya Gafin. But the Chasson, beyond Chupasa, as he's beginning his marriage, he might have a time. He might say, I don't want to get married on a Bidyevet Bracha. I'm building my bias. I want the best of the best. And therefore my expectation, the expectation of the Chasson, beyond Chupasa, is nothing less than a perfect Brei Priya Gafin. Said by a holy Besadar Kedushin with Kavana. And anything less than that would be imperfect. He tells a great story at the top of page 146. A maisa with Rav Aaron of Belz. I want to make sure we have time for our other shir as well. Rav Aaron of Belz, he tells a maisa, Mesupra Shaya Nochach, in the second line, B'mesipas Bar Mitzvah. He was sitting at a Bar Mitzvah, and he was Mechabri, the Nar Bar Mitzvah, to lead the benching. L'zamin. La'achar Shiyam Abracha Shasa Hanar Me'akos. So this little picture, this tiny cute little Chassidish of Bar Mitzvah boy, yeah? Sitting alongside Rav Aaron Belzer. He's sitting with Rav Aaron Belzer. And he's mechabed him to lead the bench. The kid's probably shaking from head to toe. Yeah, and afterwards, you know, his kid starts to drink the cup of wine. Uvakoshi, and he's a little kid, he doesn't know, he can't drink heavy wine. Uvakoshi is the Lishtos Rovkos. With difficulty, he drank most of the cup. Ulam, Rav, Kadosh, Simon, Lo, Shiyamshich. Rav Aaron Belzer says, no, no, finish up, keep drinking. The poor kid's, you know, gasping. Achasim Lishtos is Kolakos. So they asked Rav Aaron Belzer, Shalu Oso, Harei Tamid Masvik Lishtos Rov Kos. The Halacha says Rov Kos is fine. Why are you going to force a little pitcher Bar Mitzvah boy to drink the whole cup? The kid's going to get sick. Ona Rav Kodesh, Rav Aaron Belzer said, Kasher Anar Mekayim Es HaMitzvah Sazimun B'Pam Rishon HaKa Godl B'Yisrael. It's the first time he's leading the benching. The first time in his life he has the opportunity to be part of Klal Yisrael in a unique way. Tzarech Lasos HaMitzvah B'Shleimus Gemura V'lo Lismoch Al B'Diyaveh. You can't do a mitzvah for the first time in a bidyevet fashion. You can't start a foundation with a crumbly foundation. We're going to start off the life of being a part of Klal Yisrael with the lomdus that says Rov Kos is fine. That's not how a Jew lives his life. We don't build, certainly not, can't be perfect all the time. But there has to be checkpoints in our life. Whether it's a bar mitzvah, whether it's the wedding day, exactly like we saw in the Shem Yishmol. The Ben Soro Mora is so terrible because what? Because he's so young, he's putting down the foundation of his life. And that's why we have to put him to death, because he's undermined the very essence of his existence. And with this, we can finally answer our question. Why can't we allow the Tekiah Shofar Dafka? By Tekiah Shofar Dafka, why do you have to have that the mitzvah is done really the best way possible? No lamdus. No lamdus. No hetayrim that based on lamdus is not a chazitza. You need to have a yid and his shofar. Kipshuto. Says the Talmud Rebbe by the arrow. Lefize muvan. Ha'evdel ben mitzvahs lulav esukah. Behem mishdamshim bidinim shel levud. Right? But we have lavud by esukah. We have dovan akuma. By esukah we have all sorts of crazy lamdus. The wall goes up, the wall bends, the wall's connected, right? You can make all these crazy sukkahs, and halacha is matir such a sukkah. It doesn't look like it has walls. Halacha says there are walls. Really? That's called a wall? Yep, halacha calls that a wall. But there's a big opening. Halacha calls that a wall. But I thought that's possible for a sukkah. No, the wall, you dovan akuma, the wall bends up and bends over. You crazy halachos. Right? But in halacha, it's 100%. It's 100%, and no one will tell you. And dafka, we build a sukkah in all sorts of crazy ways. Right? However, There's a difference between mitzvah shofar. Ba yesh kpeidim yuchedes shetiyeh negiya shalapeh b'shofar. But when it comes to the shofar, we want perfection. Let's go back to that other brisa we quoted from Maseches Machos. Why does the Ben Torah need to be shalim? Talmud Rabbis gives a beautiful answer. Why does the Ben Torah need to be shalim? Right? The shofar, I understand, the shofar is the beginning of the year. The shofar is the foundation, the first mitzvah. It has to be perfect. Why does the Ben Torah need to be shalim? He writes, in the second paragraph from the bottom, 146, Gam mibnei Torah ha'oskim kol hashana b'lima Torah kadosha. The Torah is always at the start. What do you mean? V'chol yom yu b'enecha kechadashim. Right? Hayom. Every second Torah has to be ki'ilu, I'm learning Torah for the first time, with that same excitement. Well, if Torah is always a starting point, if you can never get off the starting point, then you always have to be shalim. The same way, it's like you're stuck on your bar mitzvah, you're stuck on your wedding day, you're stuck on Rosh Hashanah. When a Jew learns Torah, there's an expectation of shleimus. B'chol yom yu b'enecha kechadashim. There's an inyan of always being at the start. And therefore there's an expectation that there should be nothing left than perfect. On both sides, there's a little bit more to see, but I think we're going to stop here. Just go to the last page, go to the final page of the Maamar, and we'll end with one final point. A beautiful explanation, again, of why we have this added sensitivity. Kepshuto, we just want a Jew and a shofar. When it comes to even a hider of gold, it requires lumdis to allow such a shofar. We want kepshuto, a solid relationship between a yid and a shofar. No lumdis. So, just to conclude on a very lemaisa point, right? He talks at the end of the Maamar, he talks about the importance of making kabbalos this time of year, taking upon ourselves to do things. And we have to keep this idea in mind. We have to keep the Rabbi Meir Mahalich, that better a small, wholesome onion, right, than Rabbi Yehuda's larger, but half onion. And he concludes with a beautiful maisa. He quotes from the Chazon Ish. You see where it says, maisa? Shemati sipur amaran Chazon Ish. Sheshol echem mikrovav. Ma kibel atzmo b'hai shasa. What are you being makabel upon yourself this year? Ona ayish kibel atzmo levaker es horov mide yom biyomo. I made myself a kabbalah, a promise. I'm going to visit my parents, who apparently live nearby, on a daily basis. Ra ayish moras ruach alpanav shel chazanish. So the chazanish was very upset when he heard this kabbalah. He wasn't pleased with it. V'shal asom madua heinam merutzim mikabbalah zu. Kibel aveim. Very chashuv thing. The Yerushalmi says it's chamura shebe chamuros. It's a very chashuv mitzvah. Why are you look disappointed with such a kabbalah? On Allah chazanish. Adiv shetekabula atzmecha levaker es horecha rak pamachas b'shua. Utekayim zos kol hashana. Better to make a commitment to visit your parents once a week, to call them once a week. Better to make a commitment to do something once a week and to have it last the entire year than to kabbalah upon yourself. Something like visiting them on a daily basis, you're not able to maintain it. Also, Adam Ayetzayer, this young man, said, "What? What's up? My parents live right around the corner. I can visit them every day. It's not a big deal." And he didn't appreciate the words of the Chazon Ish. He thought he'd be able to do so. Very quickly, so the Chazon Ish was correct. Very quickly, he realized it would have been better to be a small, wholesome onion than to try to bite off more than the one can chew. So, Mirz Hashem, we should be Zocha to start off the year in a very strong way. To mekabel upon ourselves, something simple, but something we can really do b'shlemus. And the things that we do, when we come to the davening Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even though there's so many words, we come to slichos, there's so many words, better to say, just go back to the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Simen Aleph Halacha Dalet, Sif Dalet. One of the first halachas in Shulchan Aruch. Better to say less with kavanah than to say a lot without kavanah. Klal Yisrael has lost them. We'd rather say all of davening, right, and run through it. In many minyanim, unfortunately, then say, you know, lecharchila, the halacha would tell you it's better to say, Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei and Yishtabach, slowly, right? For the 6 minutes, that whatever, your shul davens, for those places that daven, Sukkot and Zimra in like 5 seconds. So, halachically, the halacha says it would be better for the tzibur if you can't commit the time. Magen Avraham says that Sukkot and Zimra should take no less than a half hour. Psukah de Zimra, not the whole davening, including karbanos and everything. Psukah de Zimra should take a half hour, but if your whole minyan davens for a half hour, if you were to ask Rosh Shechta right now, should we cut out parts of the davening and just say less with kavana? He would say, absolutely, that's the halacha. Ideally, we should have a lot more time for davening. But if you're going to be cheap about your time for davening, better to say less with kavana. So, Birtz Hashem, we should be zocha to mekayim the mitzvah of tkiya shofar b'shleimus. We should start the year off b'shleimus. And then, Birtz Hashem, we should be b'nei Torah. Who have that added obligation to live every second of their lives with tremendous wholesomeness and tremendous shalom.